beg you to grant my soul, grant my soul its proper taqwa, and to refine it.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahi Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, there are countless benefits of reciting Durood and Salam on the best of creation, the seal of prophethood, peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he has stated, reciting Salat upon the noble prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam removes the sins so quickly that even the water cannot extinguish the fire with such swiftness. And sending salam upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is better than setting the slaves free. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Intentions play an absolutely crucial role in our life. Their importance can be realized from this saying of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are dependent upon intentions. Therefore, I make the intention that I record this silsila to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and for the benefit of people. You can also make some good intentions to gain some reward. You can also make intentions that I will try to watch this silsila with full attention and remove any obstacles that will come in the way of my concentration. Whatever I will learn, I will try to remember by making notes if possible, and I will try to act upon this information and also convey it to others. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our silsila, The Burning Issues. In this silsila, we try to learn about important social aspects of our daily life that have significant impact, not just on an individual, but also on the family unit, the wider community, and the nation as a whole. The aim of this silsila is to develop a basic understanding of these issues so that we can bring a change within us, a change that will be positive, leading to peace and tranquility in our homes and in our neighborhood. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, the last of the burning issue that I would like to discuss is the elderly. This will consist of three separate episodes in which we will try to cover different important aspects of problems faced by the elderly people in this day and age. The aim of this topic will be for us to realize the importance and value of elderly people and treat them nicely. One day, we will also get old. As the saying goes, what you sow today, so shall you reap tomorrow. How we treat our elderly people today, we are setting a role model for our children to do the same to us. Our children will learn this behavior from us, and when we get old, they will use this role model and treat us in this manner. In the first episode of the elderly topic, we will learn about different criterion that are used to define old age. When does actually someone become old? Some important statistics related to elderly people and the views of society as a whole about the elderly people. And most importantly, how elderly people are perceived by healthcare professionals who are involved in their care. The information is all based on current research evidence that proves these attitudes rather than narratives or individual stories. So what we will learn in this episode, it reflects the reality whether we accept it or not. First of all, Let us learn what are the different terms used to describe elderly people. Old age, in general terms, it comprises the later part of the life, the period of life after youth and middle age. At what age old age begins cannot actually be universally defined because it differs according to the context and the culture. Most developed world countries, they have accepted the chronological age of 65 years as a definition of elderly or older person. The United Nations has agreed that anyone over the age of 60 years may be usually considered as old or belonging to old age. Age perceptions, they are also partly psychological. In the 2008 and 9 European Social Survey, over 50,000 people who responded to this survey, they were asked to estimate the age at which people stop being described as young and to estimate the age at which people start being described as old. On average, over 2,000 individuals responded from UK, and these people perceived that youth ended at 35 years of age and old age began at 59. It is also rather crude to label everyone over the age of 60 to be old. And in developed countries, most people in their 60s and early 70s, they are still fit and active and able to care for themselves. However, after 75, they will become increasingly frail, a condition marked by serious mental and physical debilitation. Therefore, rather than lumping together all people who have been defined as old, some specialists, they have recognized the diversity of old age by defining subgroups. One study distinguishes the young old who are between the age of 60 to 69. So anyone who is from the age of 60 to 69, they are defined as young old. Then from the age of 70 to 79, they are defined as middle old. And then from 80 years plus, they are defined as old old or very old. Now let us go to some statistics about the elderly people. How many elderly people are there around us in our community? The older adult population is actually increasing across the world, and it is projected to increase from 530 million in 2010 to 1.5 billion in 2050, when roughly one person in six is expected to be over the age of 65, double the current proportion of older people in our society. In 2014, in United Kingdom, there were over 11.4 million people over the age of 65, or over 1.5 million people who were 85 plus. The number of people aged 75 and over is projected to rise by almost 90% by 2039, with the number of people aged 85 and over set to more than double by then. From these statistics, you may have got confused or you may have said, well, you know, it doesn't make sense. But all I can say, or we can conclude, that it is clear that we will have increasing population of the elderly in the future years. This phenomenon is easily observed in this day and age, in the sense that more and more people are seeing their grandparents and even great-grandparents alive till very late. More and more households can be seen with relatives from four generations alive at the same time. Now, let us look at the next very important aspect of this. How do we actually perceive elderly people? How do people generally view the elderly? What sort of ideas and beliefs we hold about the old people in our society? How are older people treated by the society in general? and particularly healthcare professionals who are regularly dealing with them on a daily basis? Are elderly people being disadvantaged in any way due to their age? The negative view that we hold against the elderly, does it impact on us in any way? Let us try to find answers to these questions from the results of different researches that have been published in scientific journals. First of all, let's look at the general public view of the elderly. You know, how do you perceive elderly people in your own home? It is human nature to develop views about other people who we deal with on a daily basis. These views then impact on our decisions and behavior towards these individuals. Older people, they are part and parcel of our life today. They have been part of our society in the past, and they will be an instrumental part of our future generations. People have always held different views about the elderly. Many books by middle-age writers, they depict their perceptions of old-age people. One writer, he notices the change in his parents. He says, they move slowly. They have lost strength. They repeat stories. Their mind wanders, and they fret. Another writer sees her aged parents and is bewildered. They refuse to follow her advice. They are obsessed with the past and they avoid risk. If we go thousands of years back in history, then we learn that the first man to talk about his old age was an Egyptian scribe who lived almost 4,500 years ago. The scribe in old age, they actually used to write things. Obviously, paper was not developed at that time. So they will write either on leather or stones or leaves. So any material that contained any writing on it, it was called a scribe. So on that scribe, this man, almost 4,500 years ago, he writes and he tries to talk to God with a prayer. And he writes, "Oh my Lord, oldness has come, old age has descended, feebleness has arrived, the heart sleeps wearily every day, the eyes are weak, the ears are deaf, the strength is disappearing because of weariness of the heart. The heart is forgetful and cannot recall yesterday. The bone suffers old age." This was the view of someone almost 4,500 years ago. Based on a survey of old age in history, throughout the history, one researcher, he has concluded that it is clear that always and everywhere, youth have been preferred to old age. Everyone prefers to remain young. No one wants to get old. And in Western thought, old age is an evil, an infirmity, and a time of preparation for death. That's how old age is perceived in Western society. The problem of ambiguity of old age has been with us since the stage of primitive society. In the modern period, the cultural status of old people has declined in many cultures. One of the psychologists, he observed that aged individuals are often ostracized. They are left out. They are neglected and they are overlooked. Elder people are seen no longer as bearers of wisdom, but as embodiments of shame. Research on age-related attitudes consistently finds that negative attitudes exceed positive attitudes towards old people because of their looks and their behavior. These views about old age from the past are clearly very, very negative. Thousands of years have passed. Civilizations have changed. We live in space-age technology. But sadly, our views about the elderly, they still remain. And sadly, they are very negative. And they are unchanged from those who lived thousands of years ago. Let us look at the evidence for this. In 1969, a doctor specializing in old age medicine, they're usually called geriatrics or geriatricians, he introduced the term ageism to describe prejudice and discrimination against people because of their perceived old age. Underlying this prejudice is a deep-seated uneasiness on the part of the young and middle-aged, a personal revulsion to disease, disability, and fear of powerlessness, uselessness, and death as part of growing old. None of us want to grow old because of all these problems linked to getting old. Research from the USA, UK, and across the Europe suggests that compared with younger people, older people are likely to be stereotyped as frail, ill, and dependent, and to be viewed as having low social status. Findings from the European Social Survey revealed that people aged 70 and over are seen as contributing relatively little to the economy and being a burden on health services. Unfortunately, such views are expressed and perpetuated frequently in the media, and an analysis of over 1,500 articles from newspapers reveals that older people are most frequently depicted as consumers of finite resources. For example, rising cost of pensions, rising cost of health care, etc. Surprisingly, 50% of respondents of this survey perceive people over 70 as having a negative impact on society, as being a burden. If older people sense that others are judging them in terms of their perceived old age and the associated age stereotypes, they become at risk of inadvertently acting in line with those stereotypes. A very powerful research on old people's cognitive and physical performance revealed that highlighting age or age stereotypes led to lower memory and lower cognitive test scores. These performance decrements have been attributed to the threat of stereotypes and their influence on the emotions, motivations, and behavior of older adults. These stereotype threats effects have been experimentally demonstrated on both physical, for example, hand grip performance, and cognitive tests, meaning testing their memory, similar to those used in medical assessments. Age stereotypes can also affect other health-related behaviors and motivations. For instance, older people who are made aware of negative stereotypes of aging, they reported feeling lonely and displayed more frequent help-seeking and dependent behaviors. It has been shown in research that amongst older adults, triggering negative old age stereotypes, even outside of conscious awareness, can be sufficient to reduce their motivation for a longer life, known as will to live. Both threats to performance and changes in will to live are routes through which age stereotypes, they impact negatively on an individual and have potential to bias medical assessments, leading to inappropriate diagnosis and unsuitable levels of support. Young or middle-aged people who hold prejudiced stereotypical views against the elderly people, they themselves become the victim of these beliefs when they get old themselves. A unique aspect of age-based prejudice is that our own perceptions of other older people, they ultimately become self-relevant and applied to the self. This self-stereotyping causes people to restrict their horizons if they see themselves as too old. to pursue certain activities or play certain roles. There is clear evidence that age stereotypes, whether one's own attitudes to aging or through discrimination from others, can negatively impact on the aging process by influencing health and well-being, and B, influence decision-making processes and performance on cognitive or physical tasks. More recent research has explored the impact of age stereotypes on known biomarkers of Alzheimer's disease, which is a common type of dementia. Analysis of a study of aging revealed that even when controlling for relevant health and demographic variables, those holding more negative age stereotypes earlier in life had significantly steeper decline of hippocampal volume and significantly greater accumulation of neurofibrillary tangles and amyloid plaques than those holding more positive age stereotypes. What it means is that if you hold negative views about the elderly, this can result in you yourself developing memory problems or dementia in the future when you get old. This is proved by research. Collectively, all these studies, they demonstrate that our perception of aging, which are learned through the process of socialization, they are cultural based risk factors for worse health and well-being, both for the elderly and ourselves. So far, we discussed the view of general public regarding the elderly, and it is quite clear that majority of us, they see elderly people in a negative sense, that they are a burden on our society, they are frail, they are dependent upon others, and they have memory problems. Let us now look at the view of healthcare professionals, doctors and nurses and other individuals who are involved in the care of the elderly people on a daily basis. Now, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madin Channel, attitudes about behaviors towards others, they can be implicit, meaning they can operate without conscious awareness or control. Research in the United States suggests that 95% of people hold negative implicit ageist attitudes, which is higher than the average proportion of people holding negative implicit attitudes towards others based on gender or race. Research comparing the explicit and implicit ageist attitudes of 17 British geriatric nurses that look after the elderly people as part of their job, and 32 accident and emergency nurses, those who are not directly dealing with elderly, they look after all the patients. And they also compared those 34 student nurses. So in this study, they basically looked at the attitudes of 17 nurses who were purely looking after elderly people. They compared them with another 32 nurses who worked in accident and emergency department, where all patients of all ages came. And then the third set of the individuals they looked at were 34 student nurses. This study revealed that although they did not differ on explicitly held attitudes, the practicing nurses who had greater contact with older patients, they held more negative implicit attitudes than the student nurses. Several studies support the notion that some nurses and nursing students, they hold negative attitudes towards older people, and it is suggested that the type and level of contact with older people influences these attitudes to the age. Age discrimination can be experienced directly where an individual is treated less favorably. For example, when an older person is refused access to a particular service because of their age. This is direct discrimination against old age people. or they can experience discrimination indirectly, wherein a parent neutral role or practice that applies to everyone, seeming to be equal, puts a particular group at a disadvantage. There is evidence that older people have experienced both direct and indirect forms of discriminations in the healthcare systems. In a randomized controlled trial, this is the second most powerful type of research study. Physicians, doctors were asked to assess, diagnose, and prescribe treatment for two identical patients. What it meant was they had history of patients written, given to them. And this history contained the symptoms of depression. And these two patients only varied by age. One was 39 years of age, one was 81 years of age, but their symptoms were exactly the same. So this was presented to the doctors. Not only did physicians take longer to reach decisions for the older patients, but both the diagnosis and the treatments advised, they were different. Younger patients were more likely to be diagnosed with depression and anxiety, whilst the older cases, they were diagnosed with dementia or a physical illness. The younger patients were then more likely to be prescribed a wide range of relevant therapies, including psychotherapy, pharmacotherapy, and referral to inpatient or specialist treatment. In contrast to older adults, they were only prescribed supportive counseling. The researchers believe that because the patients were identical other than age, perception of aging must have affected the doctor's decision, leading them to be less likely to diagnose the appropriate disorder and treatment for older patients. Even amongst patients with the same diagnosis, differences in treatment based on age, they were quite open and apparent. The Royal College of Surgeons in England, 2012, it reported the incidence of breast cancer peaks in those who are 85 or above. But look at the surgery rate, who are offered surgery for breast cancer. The Royal College of Surgeons says that the surgery rate peaks for patients in their mid-60s and then declines sharply from approximately the age of 70. This pattern was repeated for 8 different surgical procedures. Further research shows age bias in the treatment of transient ischemic attacks. What transient ischemic attack is when you have what we call as a mini stroke or minor stroke, and under the use of mental health services. Further research shows age bias in the treatment of transient ischemic attack and minor strokes and underuse of mental health services amongst older people. Differences in the treatment of younger and older individuals with the same condition presents a kind of indirect ageism, whereby the cost-benefit analysis, which justifies the distribution of limited resources, disproportionately disadvantages older adults. For instance, the use of quality adjusted life years to assess the relative cost effectiveness of treatment and procedures for Alzheimer's disease, osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, or age-related macular degeneration can be problematic and tend to work against those who are older with fewer remaining years. Diagnosis and treatment is one issue. A further issue is the exclusion of people over the age of 65 and 70 from participating in research trials. Although the situation is improving, this is a clear form of age discrimination outside the NHS, which has a knock-on effect on treatments available for older patients. When there is no research studies available, then there will be no evidence-based treatments which can be commissioned by the healthcare providers. A qualitative study exploring ageist practices in clinical settings. Clinical settings means when you go and see a doctor, when you're in a hospital where basically you are being looked after by medical professionals. So a qualitative study, qualitative means you speak to them and you basically how you communicate rather than getting any sort of like scientific data or numbers and so forth. Here, you basically speak to the patients and you get their verbal answers. So a qualitative study exploring ageist practices in clinical settings interviewed 57 health workers. The study reported that ageism arose in 10 different aspects of communication between workers and service users. Broadly, these aspects fell into two groups, either patronizing behavior with roots in stereotype perceptions of older adults, or disrespectful behavior linked to dehumanizing attitudes. Patronizing and stereotype communications and behavior included not fully informing an old age person about their condition. You know, this is practice in our society. They are elderly, they don't need to know. They may not understand. So we let's not tell them the full situation about their condition. Not fully informing them about the treatment or the care they are going to receive, assuming that they would not understand or they would not be bothered about this. And sometimes we label elderly people as daft or demented. Really strong words, but this is how we actually take elderly people. That they have a problem understanding. Talking to elderly people or talking about elderly people in a patronizing way. For example, treating them like children and shouting at an older person, and even if they were not deaf. Disrespectful communication included not giving enough or appropriate information about medicines, the tablet that you give them. If they ask a question, what am I taking it for? The doctor or the nurse, they will not give them enough or appropriate information. Instead, instructing older people, just take them. Also, sometimes it is noted that personal and sensitive issues are discussed with elderly people in a loud voice when there are other people around. And this is really sensitive information. If it was discussed about me, I would not like other people to be listening to this. Whereas we don't bother when it is about the elderly people. And also speaking on behalf of an older adult without prior consultation. A form of patronizing communication that some older people have reported experiencing in healthcare setting is known as elder speak. Elder speak is similar to displaced baby talk. This is denoted by high pitch, slow rate of speaking, reduced complexity, and simple utterances. Evidence suggests that people who use this mode of communication may become over-accommodating for the elderly and presume the needs and response of the person they are communicating with rather than letting them communicate their needs and wants themselves. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madin Channel, this was research-based evidence that I presented in front of you about the society's attitudes towards the elderly. Whether we look into the history or modern days, people have always viewed elderly in a very negative manner. Whether it is general public or healthcare professionals, both of them seem to view elderly in a negative manner. When I was looking at this evidence, I personally was shocked to see the conclusions from the research studies. This is also the most up-to-date evidence, and the participants of these studies were from modern-day Western civilizations, for example, United Kingdom, Europe, and United States. I'm clearly left wondering that if modern education methods have failed to change our long-held negative perceptions about the elderly, then what use this education is from a moral point of view. This is clearly a major shortfall and drawback of modern education system, which lacks Islamic perspective on our daily life. I am also led to believe that modern day ethical and moral values are more centered around the materialism. As long as you are contributing to the society, earning for others, paying the taxes, then it is all well and good. The moment you stop earning, you become dependent, you start draining the resources in terms of the healthcare funding or other benefits including pensions, then we do not care about you. Worst still, these people who hold these negative attitudes about the elderly, they seem to forget that in few years' time, they will be in the same situation. I can conclude with ease that teachings of Islam are the best when it comes to valuing any member of the society, and especially the elderly. In the third part of this elderly topic, we will look into more detail about teachings of Islam in regards to respecting the elderly. Sadly, I have run out of time for this episode. In our next episode, we will look at physical and mental health problems experienced by the elderly so that we can try to understand the rationale behind some of their behaviors. Clearly, this understanding can go a long way when looking after the elderly. So keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, I beg you to grant my soul its